Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. It's a Monday. That means Hank Vogler checking in. Rumors confirmed, by the way, White Pine County, the last I know of, to declare themselves a constitutional county. For all of your efforts in getting that done, Hank, thank you.
Well, by golly, I didn't know that was going on. I didn't think those old mossbacks that you could get them fired up to do that. I'm just tickled silly that they did it, but I just didn't think they had it in them.
Okay, well, now you need the next step. You can't just declare yourself constitutional county. You have to live by it. You have a new mandate from your stupid governor. Mask mandate has come to the state of Nevada now as of August 1. Your county commissioners need to say, not in White Pine County. That's what Rex Stenager is working on in Elko County.
Well, I hope they follow that. There's a recall petition out. I don't know. I think it failed against Governor Exlax. Governor Exlax is the diarrhea,
Yeah.
Or in other terms, it starts with an S and ends with a T, but not supposed to say that on the radio.
Right.
But
regardless, you should call those commissioners and tell them, all right, you've declared yourself a constitutional county. Now follow up.
Yep. I know two of them personally.
Call them.
So.
Call them before noon.
I shall.
Okay.
I shall.
And then report back.
Yes, dear.
I flew back from Tennessee Cattlemen on Saturday, landed in Grand Island, Nebraska. And, Hank, the smoke was so severe in central Nebraska. I know that it's hit parts of Missouri, but now Montana's on fire, and eastern Oregon continues to blaze. California, are you staying fire-free?
Had a four-pickup payment fire, yes.
Okay, I buy
rained out on.
A four-pickup fire?
Well,
four-pickup payment fire?
Yes. You have a fire right next to a town or in some valuable timber or something like that. But, Mother Nature is an arsonist. I mean, Mother Nature is basically Pandora's box. You think about it. Earthquakes. Oh, well, so it split Alaska up in the 60s. Big deal. Does it all the time. The earth is continually changing and somehow saying, we've got to let Mother Nature do it. Okay, then get ready for fire, pestilence, anything else in the world, because that's the way Mother Nature works. She's not a very nice lady, but it kind of gets you off the hook. How come that happened, Daddy? How come Larry the goldfish is floating at the top of the bowl? Well, Mother Nature. And so you get away with crap. Well, out here in the middle of, the other side of nowhere, where I live, we get a fire in just terribly steep country.
Uh-huh.
Now, they have a policy that if it was man-caused, well, we've been having a lightning show out here. And by the way, we have had 3 days of the best rain we've had in years. In fact, it washed out roads. We're going to need a little infrastructure money.
You seriously got rain?
Absolutely. Goose drowner. I mean, just like a cow peeing on a flat rock.
Uh-huh.
I mean, puddles, water running down ditches and swales places that water doesn't run. Salmon are spawning. I'm not kidding you. Oysters. We had oysters the other night that we found. The whole place.
Wait. Mountain oysters. Well, don't mislead people.
If they don't know by now, that's my job. But, I mean, just a goose drowner, which I'm sure put the fire out. But because they could say it was man-caused, forget all the lightning that struck yesterday, smoldered all night, the winds come up and the humidity drops the next day, and away it goes in steep country, steeper than a cow's face.
Yeah.
And boy, here they come. Dun, 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 dun. And yes, summer fires are no good because they scald the soils. All these things should be used as a tool. Either harvest the timber, make something out of that pinyon and juniper, and prevent huge landscape fires, open up the pinyon and juniper, because Mother Nature did for years. You know, where I grew up in Southeast Oregon, very, very on the edge of the timber. The timber was always to the west and to the north. But those logs that they brought in, practically every log had burn scars on it, because fire went through all the time. Went through the Indian summer was the fact that the woods were full of smoke. But we quit logging. We quit everything in the 1980s. In fact, the two senators from Oregon, Packwood and Hatfield, they were owned by the big timber companies. The big timber companies said, hey, you're going to get rid of our competition with the spotted owl. Be quiet. And so they did. They had power. Nothing was done. Destroyed small towns everywhere. And all these years later, oh my goodness sakes, 40 years later, what happened? Kaboom! Mother Nature. She's got all the time in the world. And yeah, and it's going to get worse. But there are places that, well, there should be a let burn policy. But when they want to train firefighters and make pickup payments, yes, oh yes, oh yes, vacation money, whatever it is, this is their bread and butter. This, man caused. So therefore, our rule, our regulation that we've decided is best for you, we'll put that fire out. Even though, I mean, all fires are not created equal. And all fires are not good. But there are some of them that, oh, well, let this one go. I guess that's where all those alluvial fans came from. All the dirt that's in these valleys around here had to come from somewhere. And it was from the tops of mountains, because Mother Nature decided when the timber got too thick or whatever, boom, away it went. And then there was no fire department. So, yeah, there were probably back when the pilgrims landed, there were probably million-acre fires in every western area, whatever. And it went on. But we're supposed to be smart. But we passed environmental laws in the 80s, going to take care of everything because we're the smart guys. Nobody has ever been accountable, held accountable for those mistakes. If I make a mistake, my banker, Mother Ray at the PCNA will take me out. Bring your dolls and dishes to town. These people have created cottage industries that have protected wild horses, that have destroyed the range. They have protected. And this is the result of not using common sense, and the results of when you make a mistake, you go, okay, that was a mistake. Let's try something different. No, we get people that are absolutely their livelihood, their pickup payment is involved in that. I bet you wish you didn't ask me that question.
No, I mean, this is like the easiest segment I've ever had. I'm just sitting reading the newspaper and doing things I needed to get caught up on. You know, it's all good.
I mean, it's just totally insane what, you know, again, there nobody is held accountable for wasting thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, the aerial circus. And it did nothing. But yeah, it's a burn scar. Yeah, okay, let's put that money into rehab. Let's get some seed up there. Let's get something up there and try something different, which they have, I have to admit, started to do in places. But yeah, quit doing the stupid. There was nothing in miles around. You know, and to say that there was no lightning in the area, and man caused, then we can jump on it. Then we can waste all this money. Then we can get our pickup payments. Probably the saddest thing that happened is these huge gully washers, goose drowners showed up and put the fire out. I mean, they could have nursed that thing for another 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. But I think it went out. An elk is laying dead in one of the reservoirs that I built. I guess that's my fault for fixing the water for all the animals. It had to have been struck by lightning, you know. No, but there was no lightning in there. This was man caused. Why? Well, they think the ignition point was close to a road. Oh, okay, ladies and gentlemen, you want to be really stupid? Lightning never hits near a road, according to the local Bureau of Land Management. So therefore, it's man-caused. I mean, this is totally, totally kookaroots. No village, no phone lines, no power lines, no nothing but rocks, pinyon, and juniper, and decadence. Total decadence. Desert. I mean, there's nothing there. Those pinyon and junipers, there's not a blade of grass under them, near them, around them for miles because they have completely choked out and dominated the entire area.
I've got to go to a break with that. Protect the Harvest continues to be on the front lines of making sure that these property rights are insured for future generations. Not just future generation, the current generation. Teresa Lucas McCann and I had a tremendous day at the Tennessee Cattlemen on Saturday, and we are going to work together more in the future to save these property rights. We'll be back with more Rural Route. ProtectTheHarvest.com, by the way. More Rural Route after this. Welcome back. Rural Route. Trent Luce alongside Hank with the rain. Hank with the rain is a whole different disposition than Hank in a drought of historic proportions.
It had to be a rain in historic proportion. I'm telling you what, puddles, 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 just everywhere, and water running down. We had to go clean culverts out in the yard. We forgot they were even there, and that water's running in the wrong place. Wow, what a deal!
What are you talking? When you get a rain like this, and you make it sound like it's a 10-inch gully washer, what was it like? Half inch, 6/10 or something?
I think about 3/10. Come on now.
My mother on Saturday had 3 inches before noon, so that's a gully washer.
Not 3 inches. My house would have been on its way to Las Vegas in a flood. No, that ground, that old alkali ground, it just seals up just as soon as one drop of rain hits it and everything runs off the top. And that was the cool part. After the initial front came through, which was just absolutely huge raindrops, well, then it had a drizzle. Ordinarily, this time of year, you just get the pounding rain that just runs off in the bottom of the valley and washes between my house and Tippett's. The road's washed out in two or three places. By the by, they're supposed to start gathering horses, and I loaned them my generator to pump a well, so... But don't tell anybody that because it could ruin my perfectly good bad reputation for participating. But anyhow, I don't even know if they can get the trucks in and out to the corrals that they want to build to gather the horses. They're going to gather 2,200 head. They admit that there's 6,600 in the unit, and that doesn't include the horses that have puked out into the other areas, but they're supposed to start gathering. I'm not going to complain.
6,000, and what was the allotment was to handle, what, 800?
167.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. That's management for you.
You better bet you. But now there's an entire cottage industry protecting the horse, because every one of them, you know, it's sing the song, Born Free. Bring a tear to your eye. These poor little animals. Well, no, they're animals. Just like everything. They want to procreate. They want to dominate. And they do if they are allowed. And of course, they have very few natural predators, as they did where they came from Europe, you know. And they think that the original old horse that was here came across the land bridge from Europe and were over 100. Along with the mammoth and the camel and several other species. So, well, long before they had seasons on deer, because, well, they've about eliminated the deer because they don't do anything about predators.
At
what point in time do somebody step up and say, you know, we got to try something different?
Well, instead, Biden signs executive order January 27th to say we're going to return 30% more of this landmass to its natural state. That's what we did.
Yeah, isn't that good?
And Hank, I want to talk about that a moment, because I had a conversation with somebody I don't need to name that they have not taken a stance on this particular 30 by 30 initiative because, well, they're not really sure it'll affect property rights. I'm like, are you stupid? They already own 1 in 3 acres. There is nothing in that that there is any indication that they're only going to talk about the 30% they already own. they're going to return 30% of your and my personal land, private property, deeded property, into its natural state so that we have massive fires threatening homes, threatening property, threatening the very livelihood, the existence of the mankind, because the farmer and rancher is not allowed to manage the properties they see fit.
Or they'll have this little committee that will come out who will have the sum total of all the knowledge in the world of how to raise corn. Maybe I can get on that. By golly. Or soybeans. And they're going to tell you, no pesticides, no herbicides, no fertilizer, no plowing. You'll just plant it between the weeds, and the production levels of that very productive ground will drop by 90%, and we will impoverish ourselves. You know, somebody needs to smell a coffee.
Oh, we'll feel better about it, though. Feel better about it, though, Hank, because that's organic.
Mother Nature. Mother Nature doesn't give two hoots about us. She lived through the dinosaurs. She lived through lots of people that and animals and things that thought they could dominate. I mean, it's just... And what have we done with the amount of ground that the federal government controls? When the Constitution says for needful buildings and ordnance forts, beyond that, they've never supposed to have been in control of land. Those were the states. It is not Washington, D.C. and its subsidiaries. We are not a subsidiary to Washington, D.C. But do you think we can get that through the folks that want to spend $5, $6, $8 trillion that they don't have? I mean, wow. Your kids, my kids, their grandkids will be hateful towards you. You will go, they'll have statues, not of great leaders of America, but they'll have statues of the people that allowed this to happen. and they will go and throw rocks at it or something like that. I mean, it's just
something
nuts.
Like that. It is nuts.
I mean, you will be enslaved without having anybody fire or shot. Forget China. We are self-destructing with internally. Internally.
Hey, let me go back to something you were talking about. You said that there are 6,000 horses on this horse 6, management.
6,600 is what they what was published.
And you said that when the allotment area horse or the horse management area was established, it was conducive to 160.
167, and that's on my side of the fence.
Okay, so now, then my question is, why are they not removing 6,400 instead of 2,200?
Job security, I guess. I mean, I guess, or they there's only if they don't give the big share to the horse advocate groups, they won't get to gather anything because they'll find some friendly judge that will put absolutely a moratorium, a judgment against, and they'll it'll be 5 years before they get them gathered. One of the two people involved.
How can a judge make a ruling that you can't go remove these horses when their own statute says 167 is the right number of horses?
Because they'll say that, you know, when those guys put that EIS, which is, they've been working on for 3 or 4 years, or environmental assessment or whatever it is, that, you know, they could have gathered them 4 or 5 years ago when we had a deep snow in the wintertime.
Right.
They could have gathered them with a pickup and a snowmobile. But, nope, they took them years to get all their papers in line to do it. So if they get an injunction against the gather so they can go out and study it some more, they'll give them 4 or 5 years, and then there'll be 12,000 horses or whatever. I mean, it's just that's the way it works. And the advocate groups get a hold of their constituents and say those filthy ranchers, those welfare ranchers that are out there destroying the range, there's plenty of room for these horses. This is all, you know, write your congressman, write this, write that. For 50 cents, they get it done. And an envelope. Now with email, I think it's probably zero. Don't cost them anything. So, yeah. And this is all goes back. We passed all these NEPA laws all these years ago. We passed all these laws back in the 70s and the 80s because, you know, just like the welfare things, we were a booming country. We had more money than we could spend. And so, boy, let's just let's just do this, let's just do that, yada, yada, yada. Well, this is the result of not going back and readjusting the mess, cleaning it up, tucking in the corners. You know, you got a plan on your outfit, and about halfway through it, you have to make adjustments. Not these people, boy. It's set in stone. This is the way it's going to be done forever, and it'll work. Why? Why? We studied these horses, and their reproductive rate is only about 5% in domestic herds, so it's only going to be 2.5% in these wild herds. Wrong.
It's been documented it's at least 25-30% in the wild herds, Hank. It's 5% in the domestic herds because you have people with two horses at home. One's a gelding and the other one's a mare. That doesn't work.
Okay, but guess what? When they were putting the statistics together, when they were making, this is the reasons we should have this act because they're going to go away, look at the lie of that day, the lie du jour was the reproductive rate is only about 5% in domestic horses. So then wild horses, why, they can't even do that much. Well, baloney.
Well, that's just a lie. It's a blatant lie. We'll talk about lies when we return with the second half of Rural Routes. Certified Piedmontese is no lie. The opportunity for you to add value, particularly the myostatin gene, maybe times two, which leads to tenderness for the beef and the consumer. You get paid properly. That's the key to a whole niche program. There's so many niche opportunities out there, but are you, the cattleman, getting paid properly for what you're producing? How about $180 over market price at a 600-pound calf? That's over your market price, the top of your market price in the local area. Marlon Will has details. LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Second half of Rural Route ahead. Welcome back. Rural Route, Trent Luce, alongside Hank Vogler, checking in from White Pine County, the last county on earth that I'm aware of to make a declaration that they're a constitutional county. We'll see what happens this week as the mask mandate comes to Nevada. Okay, you brought up who the sources are for fact-checking. Earlier this morning on Across the Pond, my buddy Andrew Henderson, who's always 6 hours ahead of me on all information. Well, he's more than that because he pays attention. I don't. I just rely on him to give me the information. He told me, and he told everybody listening, that it's now documented that Facebook was paying their fact-checkers on COVID information. And any time in the past year that I have posted anything on social media, particularly Facebook, that's tied to COVID, I get there's a COVID warning that comes up. This information may not be accurate. Seek blah, blah, blah. We now know that they were paying a vaccine manufacturer, even though this wasn't a vaccine, it was a jab. Let's be clear. They were paying a vaccine manufacturer who was selling this jab to be their fact checker. Hank, do you see a problem with this? Wild Horse Annie Coalition to see if there's too many horses on a wild horse area.
Yeah, and I mean the Gestapo used it in Germany. They use it in China. The official news reports. You think they're going to say that Xi Jinping looks like Winnie the Pooh? Can't even have
actually, he does look like Winnie the Pooh.
I mean, what the hell? This is nothing new. This has been going on. You know, the Roman press, they certainly didn't say that our decadence, our lack of will to stand up for their in-time constitution or anything else. And, you know, they started hiring people to do their armies and everything. I mean, that's just the nature of the darn thing. But all these different groups that can get away with it, they're going to get away with it. It's up to us. Well, the Delta variant, I've been told, you get a little sick, but we used to get sick from the flu. Not one person died of the flu last winter. Everybody died of the COVID. Well, didn't anybody die of the flu? Didn't anybody get old and die? Aren't there people out there that don't have the same immunity levels as others? I got my shot.
That was your mistake. But you know what happened? they took the common cold and they just put it on steroids, created the virus called COVID, and now the PCR test everything positive to COVID because it is the common cold, it's the flu, it's all the same thing. It's just this one is manufactured in a lab, it's on steroids.
Well, and they should, instead of calling it COVID, they should call it covert, because that's what it amounts to. Never let a crisis go to waste. Why did we have to spend trillions of dollars and shut the world down for something that was going to come? And then when Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, said, try hydroxychloroquine. It's not a cure, but if you take it when it first starts, man, they went after him tooth and nail. There's no money in the drug that's been out there since the 50s.
Yeah.
And then the ivermectin deal, I don't know how that worked or how much it worked, but that seemed to have some efficacy.
Two cc's.
Okay.
A week.
So why couldn't we try something? No.
You know that I have a friend, Dr. Brad Meyer, who lost two patients because he followed protocols of the hospital he worked for, the health system. That, as a medical doctor, worked on his brain in a way that I can't even imagine. So he then saved lives and followed what you just said, and he got fired. He got fired for saving lives. He was applauded for doing the right thing when his patients died. It's not hard to fix the COVID situation, but the medical doctors are being hampered and not allowed to do it.
Too much money. Making too much money filling those hospital beds. Yeah. Get over it. Vaccine. Oh, no, this is the stuff. This is the stuff we need to be using. Everything, yeah. Well, they convinced me one way or the other. My system has been compromised a time or two. I'm of the age that I thought, okay, well, I'll get the shot. So I got the shot. But it was my decision. Nobody was holding a gun to my head. Yeah, but now
I've got the shot. Bad information.
And Governor Exlack says I should have to wear a mask. When how many gazillion and a half people walked across the border last night that were not checked, that checked positive for COVID? How many of those people are actually the ones that are in the hospitals? Are they the ones that are the super spreaders?
Get this. The Border Patrol, who is there watching them walk past, supposedly protecting our borders, but now they're not allowed to protect our borders, after the idiot in the White House this weekend said, you, as a Border Patrol federal employee, you have to get the jab and be tested twice a week. Meanwhile, watch these people come across the border unchecked whatsoever. Who in their right mind finds logic in that?
Well, and you know what? Who would not enforce the immigration officers from picking up runaway Peruvians by the hundreds who have just absolutely walked away from everybody in the West because nobody American is taking the jobs? Who do you think is going to take all these minimum wage jobs that don't require high skills? Those very people that are not being checked. Anybody, if you've got there's signs out that says if you got a heartbeat, come in, we got a job.
I'm going to leave out the name just because the nature of the question, because it was pretty much tongue in cheek, but I don't want anybody going to chase down my friend, initials A and G, who's a dairyman. But he sent me a text last night. It said, hey, Trent, it's looking like my hired man quit. Will you ask Hank what the best coyote to use to steal an H2A is?
Well, isn't that nice? Yeah. Call up the Peruvian hotline. I guarantee you they got them lined up across the street. Yeah.
I mean,
it's ridiculous. The dairy should be able to get these people. And we got this Department of Labor, which is like Mother Nature. You can't say anything against them. Department of Labor absolutely is trying to destroy the people that are hiring these people, which is an oxymoron from hell. They come out, and the rules and regulations now, there's winter herders, there's summer herders. You know, they have absolutely regimented the situation so much that everybody is in violation of the contract on your side, and you will be the one that gets super fined. They will be poor, pitiful me. and will no longer have a job. There, I mean, it's just the hypocrisy is just off the wall. H-2A workers should be at dairies. They should be with me. They should be, because people that can get $300 a week more, plus all of the bennies that they're already getting, and going, well, why should I go to work? I can stay home, watch TV, do something, go fishing. You know, so, and maybe you and I don't want to do that, but there's people out there obviously doing it with 9 million jobs going unfilled. You know, I mean, just, you start winding all of this up. Animals, do not choose the stupidest animal in the herd to lead the herd. Only humans do that.
Oh, my goodness. I never thought about that analogy.
And we're supposed to be the smart ones. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, they, I mean, it's just, you cannot make this stuff up. I don't know how many times over the years, Trent, I thought you and I would run out of things to talk about.
But yeah, no
more
chance.
To talk about every day.
Yeah. It just continues to multiply.
We have got to send some people to Washington, D.C., to our state capitals, to our school boards. The whole system is in place and can be corrected, but it's up to us. Now, everybody doesn't have to agree with Trent or Hank or anybody else, but if they agree with what's going on, the consequences of that agreeing with that are monumental. Well, we're not asking to go back to plowing with mules. We're just asking about, maybe we don't need the largest bureaucracy in the world. You know, the tail is wagging the dog, where they could come out to anybody's operation tomorrow that has H-2A workers and shut them down, which guarantees those bureaucrats their jobs.
Yeah,
guarantees it. Because, man, look at all these violations that Hank Vogler, all these violations that your friend the dairyman. Oh, we have got to stay out there, and I need more help. I've never had a bureaucrat yet that didn't say, you know, if we had some more financing and we had some more help, we could get that done. Well, I have to stay within my budget. I can't have 4 pickup payment fires. I can't call in a Bore-8 bomber. I don't know how many hundred thousands of dollars that one cost.
So I have to also ask you something that Andrew brought up this morning on Across the Pond, and I have 1 minute. But I have not seen video of this. I can't believe it's happening. But he said that he watched video of planes dropping lighted fuel on fire, creating fires.
I think that happens. They have drip torches and all kinds of things that when they do try and have a managed burn,
right,
or they try and have a backfire to deny the fuel to the fire. Yeah, I think that's possible.
But yeah, I believe it's possible for a backfire or a prescribed burn. There is no way that I'm buying that the government is starting these fires by doing that. That's beyond what I, because all you have to do is somebody throw a cigarette out and it'll take care of that.
Really? So were you in Chin Creek the other day? Because during that lightning storm, there was a man-caused fire in that really steep country, and I don't know what you're doing.
In other words, I don't handle cigarettes. I'm just saying that I know how to start a fire, and I know that that's all it would take. You don't need to have a plane dropping lighted fuel to start a fire to create a catastrophe. There has to be a management proposed strategy if lighted fuel is starting fire.
No question about it.
Yeah. Hank Vogler, Trent Luce, we have blown through 3 segments just like the wildfire across the prairie just continues to blow. We'll be back with the last segment of Rural Route right after this. You know, we just finished the Rise USA tour, and I met a lot of interesting and wonderful people that'll be friends forever in that process. Many of them with great talents, all of them with patriotism like no other. Karen Staley is one of those individuals, a lifetime, I believe 35 years. She can't be that old, in Nashville, writing and putting together songs with so much talent and gets right to the point. God Save the Cowboy Everywhere is a song that really touches my heart, but she's got a whole album of songs as a direct result of the Arise Tour. I recommend you go to KarenStaley.com and buy that for only $20. Welcome back, Rural Route. Trent Luce alongside Hank Vogler. You don't really have the thought that we would run out of things to talk about, do you? You just well, said that for showmanship.
You know, I mean, every day something even crazier comes up. A few years ago, my hands, I couldn't sleep. My hands were carpal tunneled pretty good. And it was before they have the modern techniques, so I actually had pretty severe surgery on my hands. I had to sleep in a chair with my hand held up. And when I did that, rather than go nuts, I started reading. And I read all kinds of accounts of the people coming.
Time out. Do you have a fact checker to verify that you did not go nuts? Because I think there's indication you might have gone nuts anyway.
Well, the doctor asked me if there was any insanity, you know, in our family, and anybody suffered from insanity in our family. And I told him point blank, I said, well, I don't think any of us suffered from our insanity. We all kind of enjoyed it.
All right. You are reading a preponderance of books when you're.
And these books were so footnoted with actual diary excerpts of people that came across the prairie. Number one, look out your Nebraska prairie. There were no trees. They burned buffalo chips.
I know.
The other thing that they talked about was prairie fire.
Yep.
And the other thing that they talked about is they always knew where the buffalo was because they didn't have gas stations and electronic cars that they could have go and have them recharge. They had horses and mules and animals that they were bringing across that prairie. And it was a devastating thing when they ran into the buffalo herds because there's nothing to eat. So Mother Nature was doing things different when Whitey showed up, you know. So, again, the fractured history, the promoting what you want to be written down as truth, you know, Mother Nature and Native Americans were one in one. They knew how to do it. Well, no, they fought. Every street corner had a different tribe on it. You know, there were people that were pushed around. They fought over everything that they have all the same mitochondria as every human on this earth. Nobody, you know, communism sounds good, but it doesn't work. You wind up being a slave to a central committee. And we read about it when I was a kid, and now we're promoting it. We don't call it that. We call it progressive. Well, okay, let's be progressive, you know. You want to go to the Olympics and you want to get up and protest? Well, then go have your own danged Olympics. Everybody I knew that wanted to aspire to be an Olympic position was so happy to be wrapped in the American flag. Now these people, football, I don't watch any of that crap anymore. I don't watch basketball. I don't watch any of that. That's how you correct that situation. They make millions and millions and millions of dollars off of advertisement. But if nobody's watching that stuff, their advertisements go down. And so their value of their teams go down. I will not watch the Olympics to have somebody stand up and talk about the oppression in the United States of America. Yeah, it ain't perfect. But there's nobody that I know of that's trying to break down the border into the Soviet Union or China. You know, China had to put on their people, you can't take but a certain amount of money out of the country because people would leave that place in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I actually love it when people at the Olympics, which I saw maybe parts of 30 minutes the other day, just so you know. There were two Nebraska girls on the USA volleyball team. I was in a restaurant with Kelly, and we were watching parts of it. Jordan Larson, I don't know how old this chick is. She's amazing. She's just Iron Woman, still playing volleyball with the kids. Anyway, it's the only thing I've seen, the only thing I want to watch. But I think that when they get up there and they do symbols, that show oppression, or they turn the black back on the flag, or they do this and that. I think it's a good thing, Hank.
Really?
Because
you have to run that one by me.
Because the everyday people who were previously asleep, not recognizing what the 1% are doing to us, are now paying attention and saying, what do you mean? You are on the U.S. dime, flown to the Tokyo on the global stage, and you're going to tell the world that there's oppression in the United States beyond some. Even the people who thought this was all nonsense before, they're now saying, my goodness, this bunch of entitled little spoiled brats need to get a real job instead of at the hands of paying for being paid by our U.S. tax dollars to go represent the United States. I think they're waking people up every time they do something stupid.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. But I can't stand to watch it.
I don't either. I'm with you. By the way, you'll never see Kelsey Robinson or Jordan Larson do anything other than stand for patriotism.
Yeah.
Nebraska girls on the U.S. volleyball team.
But what the heck is this all about? This is stupid. I just saw a picture of this lady. She didn't even get she didn't get first. She got second at some kind of deal. And I didn't even know it was a symbol, but she put her arms over her head in an X.
Yeah.
And, okay, well,
whatever.
Why don't you move to South Africa where they're slaughtering each other in the streets over oppression? Why don't you move to Cuba? Anybody besides Bernie Sanders trying to get into the Soviet Union? They should go. Go, Bernie, go. You know, if you don't like it here.
Oh, you know what? Go. Let's just save the airfare and not fly her back to South America or Russia. It's just a little hop, skip, and a jump from Tokyo to China. Let's just gotta let her go live there for the rest of her life.
Yeah. And the people in Taiwan have got their pistols loaded. You know, I mean, it's the Chinese government is off the wall. It for whatever reason, they came from practically the Dark Ages, a completely agrarian society, like 98% of them, just one generation ago. And now, for whatever reason and however they did it, they're strutting their feathers. But it's not Winnie the Pooh that's doing it. It was Deng Xiaoping, or whatever, the guy before him.
It's the second time you brought up Winnie the Pooh today. Were you watching Disney over the weekend, or what's going on?
No, I just saw it on some advertisement on the TV there one day, and it had Winnie the Pooh in it. And I thought, well, you know who that looks like?
Yeah.
I know a guy that I've always wanted to get his head mounted. This guy's got a Boone and Crockett head. I've never seen that big of a head. Should that be a horrible thing?
Does that mean he's got a 180-point score, or what's the deal there?
I don't know.
All right.
But I mean,
so Tennessee Cattlemen on Saturday had a fantastic meeting, just a bunch of people that want to take care of their business and provide the essentials of life for people and be left alone. But I met Vivian Allen, who is a retired researcher. Vivian, I guess you're retired. Was at Texas Tech University for 16 years. And when I got done speaking, I had the great opportunity, and she has now forwarded to me two of her Planet Health Systems reports that she did research on and was funded in doing. And guess what? You're not going to believe this, Hank. It turns out that cows, ruminant mammals, are absolutely essential to planet health. Even if you're in the cotton business, there's research documenting that cows make growing cotton better. Who would have ever guessed that a cow is important?
Well, who's ever been to Africa and watched Wild Kingdom with absolutely floods of wildebeest? Aren't they ruminants? What about the 60 million buffalo that used to be here? Long before Mother Nature became so popular, she had livestock. You know, a little different. It was ebbs and flow of the weather. They starved to death, or they prospered, you know. I mean, the thing of it is when you could promote something, just like wildfires, do you realize – that when one of those fires takes off and starts running up a ridge, there's no way on God's green earth that anybody is stupid enough to get in front of that. But yet it's become a cottage industry and a huge growth industry in the West. So everybody's out there fighting fire because there's big money in it. Big, big money. Hundreds of thousands, millions. I think the budgets of some of those deals are in the billions.
Right.
So we have all this stuff. But when the fire actually takes off, because of so much decadent fuel out there, there's nobody stopping that fire. They can't. That's the embarrassment. That's why instead of having 3,000 acre fires that we used to have when we used to manage the forest, and now we have 300,000 acre fires because we don't manage the forest. We burn up our natural resources that can be used, just like getting rid of cattle. Just, you know, yeah. There's a chance that you're not even going to be able to take pork into California.
No, actually, I'm supporting that.
If I
let them starve.
I would be too.
No, let them starve. Because here, we have a lawsuit. In fact, this was a Loose Tales the other day. We have a lawsuit by National Pork Producers Council and American Farm Bureau trying to get California to come in compliance with commerce laws. And it's like, I don't care. They voted for this stupidity. Let them starve. And at some point in time, when they can't get an egg, when they can't get any protein, meat protein.
Beef, nothing.
Beef. When they can't get access to the food, maybe somebody then will wake up.
Well, that's what they say is going on in Cuba. The people don't have anything to even eat. So they have, when you have nothing to lose, somebody with a growly belly is a little easy to get them to do stuff for you.
Yeah.
But when you're in China and you've got a full belly and you've got a dictator telling you what to do, I think it's a little tougher to get that message across.
Yeah.
So, yeah, empty bellies make great, great, great warriors. And maybe that was what's going to happen in Cuba and other places, and they're going to throw off the yoke of God.
By the way, I did see the picture on some feed of the person you spoke of that had the X symbol across their head at the Olympics. There was no empty belly syndrome taking place there, let me tell you, Hank.
Oh, yeah. she was a weightlifter or something, wasn't she?
Shot putter, about 400 pounds. How about you get hungry for a while, honey, and then talk to me about oppression? We've successfully journeyed down the road connecting rural and urban America. As always, Hank Vogler, Trent Luce. All roads do lead to a rural route. One more quick reminder, Certified Piedmontese paying bills, getting you properly paid for what the quality beef you produce might be. The myostatin gene, thanks to the Piedmontese cattle. Lone Creek Cattle Company, full details.